Hello, everyone, and thanks so much for tuning into the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, author of Getting Better When You Can't. This is a podcast that's designed to help you see beyond everything. I believe you'll find the content interesting, engaging, and even life-changing. Please check out my website at www.kevinwinder.com and be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter entitled Winder's Windshield. Thanks so much for tuning in, and now on to the KevCast. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for coming back for another episode of the KevCast. I'm your host, Kevin Winder, and welcome back to the third and final week of our series about love. And I can always tell when I'm confusing people. I get a lot more clicks on the content, but I get fewer people writing in with comments. So that tells me that people are not sure what to say or their feedback, but they're interested in what I'm saying and they're reading it more and more. So let's talk a little bit about that. The first week, 2 weeks ago, if you haven't heard these series, go back and get caught up. We talked about love on the horizontal plane. And we're going to review some of that today. The next week, we talked about love on the vertical plane. And today we're going to conclude by looking at love on a circular plane. Now, we all have such different ideas about love. But like I've said, we all touch love at some way. We all know something about it. But there's so much confusion in it. Is it any wonder? I mean, modern Christianity teaches that there are three or four kinds of love just based on the words that they see in the Bible. For instance, we're familiar with the term agape. That's commonly called God's love or unconditional love. We're familiar with phileo, which is commonly called the friendship kind of love. There's eros, which is erotic love, and storge, which is just natural affection kind of love. And so I think because we see these examples where there are multiple words for love, we think there must be different kinds of love. And I think this really confuses people. If you consider 1 John 4:8, which is what we've been doing the last 3 weeks, and that is that God is love. God is love. Is it then true that love is God? Of course. Of course, equals is an equal sign. God equals love. Love equals God. And what's interesting is how every single person who has ever lived has some knowledge and experience and belief, certain belief in love. And yet, not all these people believe in God. And that's because the God concept, the God picture that's given to us is not always equal to what love is like. So I think we can kind of find a new shape of God by looking at love. And it's a new experience, a new perspective, a wider perspective, okay? So if we consider 1 John 4:8 that tells us that God is love, and then to ascribe only one aspect of love, which is typically agape, to God, that's really just commoditizing love. And that's kind of a product of the church, isn't it? The church is where you go to get agape love. Now, to overcome this, we must redefine the shape of God by showing that there is only one love. But this love is huge, it's vast, and it's multidimensional, and it has many, many different applications. And I've shown that horizontal love is not only the love between friends, the love between lovers or the cosmos and the things in it, but it's the concrete reality of God loving us through the horizontal plane. Now, God is present in the world as the common expression of love, found by all people at all times, but in various ways. Now, we don't like to think of it like that. We like to think of we have God's love because we go to church, but all the things that people love and the love that they share between each other and the love for their pets and their friends and their parents, that's just something different. That's a different kind of love. That's not spiritual love. That's not godly love. You see where I'm going with this? The horizontal plane in which we all find love and begin our love journey is God showing up as love in our life. And since love is boundless, we can explore it by going deeper. Now, you know, I didn't know my capacity for love would expand as I would have children. When I first had my first daughter, Carly, I loved her so much, I couldn't possibly imagine having another child. And I was literally thinking, I won't love the other child as much as I love this child. And then along comes Calvin, and my capacity for love expanded all the more. And I can't imagine loving. And those of you who have 4 or 5 or 6 or more kids, you know this is true. Each child expands your capacity to love. And this is a horizontal expression, but we're going deeper, isn't it? Because our capacity is deeper. But this is actually a spiritual process. Every time you go deeper into anything, it's a spiritual process. And that is not achieved within the intellect or the emotions. You see, love is not a paradigm. It's not a something that you can have an intellectual assent to. Love is not an emotional reaction. Love is not an emotion. Love is not just a feeling. Yes, it captures our intellect. It captures our emotion, but it goes way deeper. To access that, we have to access a spiritual pathway, okay? We all do it. We don't have to make it spooky or weird or religious. It's just a very true, authentic spiritual path. And it's not an ascent or a goal or a set of rules or an emotional benchmark. It's not like, oh, if I get enough goosebumps, then I must be in love. No, it is the process, like we learned last week, of letting go of ourself. And when you let go of yourself, you trust that someone other than you is there. It's trusting in otherness. And deep love is always a result of what we learned is kenosis, or self-emptying. Emptying, self-denial. Christians call this taking up the cross. A lot of Eastern traditions talk about this as getting rid of our ego, right? It's the same love, but it goes beyond this low-level obligation or duty, right? A lot of people are caught up in this idea that love obligates you. Well, if it is, it's very low-level love. But I believe true love does not obligate us. True love compels us. We are motivated on something completely other than obligation or duty. We're motivated by love, which is a far higher motivation. And so as we go deeper, we learned that we also must go wider. There's no sense in going deeper into love unless you're going to go wider into love. And this is where we got into the idea that sex is actually easier than laundry. You know, we can go deeper in our connection, but then we don't want to go wider in terms of our service. And it really requires both. You ultimately can't go deeper unless you're going wider. Okay? So once we've expanded, once we kind of get this rhythm, it's easy to think of this is a back and forth motion, but there's a rhythm to it. It's kind of a dance. And, you know, like I'll mention later, I'm going to recommend Richard Rohr's new book, but he calls it the circle dance. And it comes from a neat term, which I'm not going to go into. But like I've explained, when we have expanded, we begin to see love as dynamism. It's a movement. It's flow. Right? You're getting into a rhythm. Love is movement. And this moves Our grasp of God as a stagnant, transcendent, cosmic being into a dynamic, personal, and cosmic flow that is in and through and beyond all that exists. Now, if you think I'm kind of getting new agey here on you, just go back to Paul's words in Acts 17:28, where he says, "In you I live and move and have my being," right? This is a complete statement of flow, dynamism, movement. God is not a stagnant cosmic super parent up there looking down at you with a stink eye. He is a flow that we enter, right? And once we enter, once this happens, once we get this idea of God as a flow, because we know that love is a flow, God can be seen everywhere quite easily, rather than just imprisoned into some historical or theological construct, right? So much of theology and so much of our Christianity and our faith-based is all in this historical picture. And we miss something, or we push it all off into one day world, into the future, right? But this is talking about something different, something present, something incarnate. Now, I do recommend Richard Rohr's transformative new book. It's called The Divine Dance. It's all about the Trinity. It's about this flow of love. And this book is going to teach you far more than I can. And it's going to expose you to what I've been learning as a student in the Living School. So make sure you get it. It's called The Divine Dance by Richard Rohr. You will not at all be disappointed. I have been listening to him teach us the content that's in here for the last several months, and it is transformative. So love, then, if we're getting there, we're getting wider, and we're getting into the circular flow, love is the basis, the impetus, and the terminus of everything. We come from love, we exist, and we are sustained in love, and we are going toward love. So we awaken from our confusion when we discover that it isn't us that is doing the loving. That, if you have that experience, I hope you write me and tell me about it, because that is an amazing day when the love that you feel, you think is you, and you finally figure out that it's actually not you, it's something way beyond you going in and through you. You see, love is, that is, well, how do I say this? You know, love that is loving through us. It's love that's loving through us. Now, we start small, and this is true for everybody, even the most unloving, hateful person that you think of, right? The most person you think doesn't want love, this is the same path for all of us. We start small with a family, a pet, or a thing. There's something in our life that we grow fond of, and we call it love. And maybe it's not full-blown love. It may not be significant. You might call it puppy love. You might call it attachment. You might call it fondness. But it's the seeds of love. Right? We all start there. And as it expands, you know, the love moves. It changes. As we mature, our capacity for this love is expanded. And as it expands, the love that loves us loves through us in deeper dimensions. At low levels, love is just a thing. But as we go deeper, love is a persona or a sounding through. And immaturity is what keeps us from loving. And immaturity loves very little in the world. So when you see somebody who's unloving, it's just that their growth is stunted. It's not that they're hateful, evil, bad, or terrible. They got stuck in this love process. They probably got hurt through love. And now their growth is stalled out. Think about that. Hopefully it'll evoke some compassion in us. So every single thing in the world flows. Everything flows. Love's circular rhythm appears in atoms, right? They vibrate, they move back and forth, they circle around each other. It's in waves, right? We see the ocean crashing in wave after wave. The wave is in the water, but the water is not the wave, right? We see blood. It goes and it slows. It pulses through our body and around it goes. Sound waves, light waves, even traffic has a rhythm to it. Our breath goes in and out, and there's seasons in the planetary thing. So no matter where we look, love flows. Love is a rhythm. This rhythm is embedded into every single atom of the universe. So love flows to us and then through us and then on to another and on and on. And as it comes to us, we have a deeper sensation of it. And then it lulls and we lose a little bit of sensation of it and we kind of seek it again. We want more of it. Then it comes back and we get into this pattern. It's up and down. It's around and round. And happiness is when we enter this flow. And all religion in the world is simply the scaffolding that mankind uses to get us into the flow. But religion is not the flow. It's just the tool we use to get into the flow. If you go to church, it's going to help you find proximity to the flow. And they'll tell you that the church is not the thing. The church is the thing that gets you to the thing beyond the thing, right? The flow is always interrupted by our analysis, it's interrupted by our emotion, or any kind of effort that takes us out of the present moment. So if you're in the moment, you're in the flow. And so that's how you come to this place where you realize everything belongs. Nothing is missing from each moment because love is perfect. And there is only one love, but many expressions, and all of it is God. At first, I couldn't see God in the world because my conception or my theology of God was, like many of you, otherworldly. God is up there in some other place, in a distant world. He's not in my world. But one point in history, 2,000 years ago or more, he did enter, but then he went back. So God's in this other place, and maybe one day I'll get to go there if I'm a good enough boy. You see, that's how I thought. And I think a lot of us think that way. But later I thought I could get to God by religion or by obeying a set of rules. And I think a lot of us are stuck in that place. Well, I gotta, you know, don't drink, smoke, cuss or chew or date girls who do if I want to stay on the right narrow path to get to God. I gotta do all these things. I gotta go to church. I gotta give my tithes. I gotta pray. I gotta read my Bible. I gotta do all these things. That'll make God welcome me. If I don't do those things, well, then God is angry at me. Over time and after just tenaciously reading my Bible over and over, I gained an understanding. But I mean, gosh, I only got little tastes of it here and there in that process. You know, religion gives you a taste, but it doesn't really deliver the whole goods because you get all this other stuff that's hijacked along with it. Ultimately, though, I did discover that God is too close for me to go there. And that is when I really understood incarnation. God is too close for us to go there. We can't go to God, but we can flow with God. And that's 1 John 1:3. Now, in the flow, everything becomes truer. See, truth, love, perfection, all these things, they're the same. They function exactly the same way. And as I let go of me, as I self-empty, as I have a kenosis experience, I let go of my agenda, my pride, and my stuff, and just try and be in this moment, not trying to be something other than I am. The process made me more of me than I could ever be without it. You see, we flow as much love as we create space for it by self-emptying. And so when we self-empty, that void is filled by this ever outpouring sense of love. And that love changes us from a prideful, egotistical, stuck on ourself, look out for number one disposition into a person who's self-giving and considerate and thoughtful and generous. See, love welcomes us at whatever place we can enter it. So whether you're just learning to love a pet because you don't trust people, or maybe you're a complete introvert gamer and all you love is your computer. You can start there, but just know you got to go deeper and wider. And we are so much closer every day than we perceive to love. And nothing in our life is more important. Now, Matthew 37 through 40 says this. Oh, I forgot the darn chapter on that, but listen to this. Everything hangs on love. And that's what Jesus said. His words to his people and as well as to us, these ring so true today. Think about this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. That's it. If you get that, you get the whole thing. That's vertical, that's horizontal, and that's circular. If you miss that, you can't get any of it. And so love is one of these things. It's a dynamic flow. It's always flowing outward towards you. We take it in with a breath. We give it away. And when we enter that dance, that rhythm, that flow, something changes in us. We finally become who we were meant to be.
Thanks so much for joining the KevCast, where we learn to see beyond everything. I hope this content has helped you, and I'd love to hear from you if you have any questions or comments or feedback. Until next time, I hope you have an awesome day, and I can't wait to have you come back real soon.